So could you put that back underneath the table there?
What, my hand?
You're turned on.
No, yeah. That's how you know. If I stand up, I'll be even more eager.
So I was touching inner thigh earlier.
We're all just really happy that I'm sitting down right now.
If you stand up, we'll all know the sad truth.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Well, you know we're back.
Listen, just like football, my life is a game of inches. We're back from the floor of Scarefest Weekend presents Vet CityCon 8, the Ocho. We are here with... I call you a horror legend, a makeup effect legend. I don't even know. I'm just calling you a special effect legend.
Guru.
And designer and director.
See, the difference is you're a jack of all trades like us, but you are actually a master of some. We're a master of just ourselves.
We're masters of baiting.
That's about it.
You know what? That just needed a certain amount of time, and it was going to show up.
What is that?
I know what that is.
Yeah. Echoing.
Yeah. That's for
fidget.
Me,
yeah. You showed up right at the beginning of our interview with bullshit again.
Wow. Yeah,
the second time.
And you still won't take a mic. You still won't take a mic.
I don't like how you look deep in my eyes. You handed that to me and you said you want to play with it.
I do.
Mick, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing
great.
We're
going to get back on track here at some point.
Oh, yeah?
No,
oh, yeah, you think so?
No.
You think so seriously?
No.
I'm not feeling that.
No. And as a matter of fact, to make this interview go better, somebody's going to have to give their microphone to Toby, because Toby's going to be the better interview. There we go.
I was like, he'll communicate more than that.
Yeah. Toby's the dog, by the way.
Toby, the...
Yeah, there's a shocker.
The wonder dog?
Dog, you say? You know, I tried to name him Wolf.
It
just didn't work out. No. I just could not look at him and go, Wolf, come here. Because, you know, he's 6 inches tall.
Right, but then when you say, hey, Toby.
Yeah, and then, hey, Toby.
After is it after Toby Hooper?
No, God, no. I wouldn't do that to anything.
Well, I am very anti-Toby Hooper.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know you're
anti-Toby Hooper.
Okay, so...
Yes.
Here we go.
Yes.
Okay. So I had a meeting with Toby Hooper.
I'm sorry.
I'm just telling you. So this is probably drug related.
Okay.
I think it was definitely drug related.
Drug related.
The thing is
allegedly.
The question is. When you're talking about Hollywood and you're talking about drugs and you're talking about the 80s and 90s, you have to create a baseline. You see?
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
You see what I'm saying? Because there's a baseline.
You have to create a line for sure.
Drug use
that
anybody's going to accept.
Yes.
So like Olympic level.
Well, minimal acceptable
like
level.
Hollywood baseline is like Olympic level.
Well,
right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, like I told you, we send the funky drugs we send over to rock and roll.
Yeah.
We keep the good ones ourselves.
Explains
so
a lot.
There is a baseline for it. So if at any given time, and I don't specifically remember, I'm just saying. So
allegedly.
I had to have a meeting with him when I was on Freddy's Nightmares, and we had to. He did the first one, right? The story was supposed to be like the resurrection.
The No More Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah, you got it. So I was supposed to have a meeting about the look and the effects and all the rest of that, and I'm in a room, right? A meeting room. I'm sitting there and I'm kind of like still writing notes because it was just constantly just so busy. And Toby Hooper comes in and he sits down across from me, and I'll never forget the bloodshot eyes looking across at me.
His or yours?
It's got to be his.
His, because I was looking. Please. Try and keep up.
He'll speak slower if you need him to.
With
TV.
Yeah.
Now they're talking amongst themselves.
Do you need diagrams or anything like that? That's not with circles and arrows and shit like that.
What?
Never mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm sitting in the room and I look up and he sits down and he goes, Mick. So we were thinking if we could get the blues and I because concept is and I got up.
God,
I literally, I stood it for 5 minutes, got up, left the meeting. I heard that he didn't leave the room for another 15 minutes.
I believe that.
he just kept.
I don't even think that he thought. I think that he thought I was still in there when he left.
I think it sounds like it.
He was like, he's still there.
And the weird thing about it is you would think, because everybody says, oh, we have our great this great love of Toby Hooper and all this, and I go, really? Because, you know, working with him, every time I worked with him on set, it was just a string of like, and I do not at any one point. For one thing, he never finished a sentence, and he actually had a lot of trouble with getting through syllables.
Well, there was the best thing I ever, like, the best media I ever consumed from Toby Hooper was he co-wrote a book with a horror author called Midnight Movie. And I think Toby probably only wrote the Toby parts in it, and like, I gave a shit about everyone else in the book, but yeah. Every time, like, because the Toby stuff was written from a first-person perspective, I was just kind of like,
skip.
And I was like, okay, yeah. Well, this is going to be three, because nothing was over three pages that had him in it. Like, nothing aside from, like...
Everybody said, you know, we think that possibly you could be autistic, and I go, well, yeah. As autistic as three 8-balls can get you at any given point, I would guess.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, no.
Just saying.
Yeah, no, I strongly dislike the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre and most things Toby Hooper.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get the hype.
Yep.
I don't. Honestly. Now, okay, so you brought up Freddy's Nightmares. I have a question. Who is responsible for the Halloween episode of Freddy's Nightmares where Mariska Hargitay from the Law & Order SVU is in it, and there is a correlation between her pleasuring herself and her mom dying?
Wasn't she also in Kids Incorporated?
Hard to tell. I have to tell you. From my point of view.
What?
Have you not heard of this episode?
No.
Freddy's Nightmares was just a blur because it was maybe it was an 8-month period in which we pulled off approximately 500 special effects on 350 sets.
And that was my job.
I literally was driving home. I was literally driving home one day. And the rain came down, and my Mercedes didn't have windshield wipers that were good, so it smeared.
Oh, yeah,
And I'm not kidding. I got to the house, walked in the door. I was crying, and my wife comes up and goes, well, what happened? What happened? The car, the thing going back and forth like that. She goes, God, you really got me locked in sorrow.
She said, I'm sorry, Mr. Mercedes driving home. Why are you crying?
Mercedes driving home.
Yeah. Driving home from your film shoot in Minnesota. I'm so sorry that life is so good to you. Why are you crying?
Yeah, you know, I had that happen on the way home from a concert in 2012, except it was a shitty Mitsubishi, and I couldn't afford to replace the goddamn windshield wipers.
When I was driving my third Mercedes, sometimes I break down and cry too.
No.
I feel the strong.
No, you were driving a third party Mercedes.
What I'm getting from you guys is possibly the next time I tell that story is to like eliminate the nature of the car.
Yeah, say Buick. Say Buick.
Yeah.
Buick.
Say your car.
Just okay, my car.
Yeah, this is how sad my life is. I was driving my Mercedes. With the busted windshield wipers.
The thing is, it's not...
This ain't working.
It's the fact that you took the effort to specifically save your Mercedes. Like, hey, kid, what are you in? I'm in a fucking Toyota minivan.
You know that I have a 10-year-old Sonata now, right? That I drove here in.
Oh, I know that now.
Yeah, now.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, what happened in the Mercedes?
Yeah, what happened? Surely it wasn't the windshield wipers you were worried about.
I'm retired now. I'm just working on not spending any money.
You replaced it with your fourth and fifth from that Minnesota shoot. That's what it was. They gave you a Felina.
I think all the Mercedes money may have gone up your nose in the 80s and 90s.
You traded it for a Jaguar.
A Jaguar.
A Jaguar.
A Jaguar.
God, why do people listen to this show?
I started the Mercedes show and blew out a Sonata.
Scarefest Weekend presents Vet CityCon 8 is where we are right now.
There needs to be a drinking game.
Yes. Yes. At first, I was confused.
Then you were petrified.
I was gonna say something that was mean and funny at the same time, but I like you too much because I was gonna say I thought you came from the cosplay contest. You came off the stage and you were a homeless man.
Yeah, that was last year.
You guys have the same haircut.
We do.
We do.
Oh, that was.
It's like looking into a mirror 30 years down the road.
That's great. Yeah, you guys have the same barber.
We don't have one.
None. They left. No, it's awesome. I told you, I saw on the postcard when they started to announce people that were going to be here,
right,
and they put your name on it, and I was so excited.
Dude
is a laugh riot. Like, you are the best.
Can fucking confirm. He texted me with 4 exclamation points that you were coming back.
I was like, dude. And I just sent out, like, I cropped because I took a picture of the card, and I cropped it out, and I was like, we are so hanging out with him. Whether he wants to or not, we are going to bother him.
But you're in better health this year, it seems like.
In better health?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last year we were on a fucking hover round.
That was just to push people out of the way.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. And best parking.
No, look.
And the Sonata.
You know what?
Sorry. Mercedes.
That's,
in the show.
Yeah, you know who made that? Sonata. God damn it.
Make way for the Hyundai with the hover round.
I was driving my Sonata through the aisle. Don't you remember that? Boy, you really don't pay attention, do you? But nothing gets past you.
Well, man, like, here's the thing. I thought you turned it on before, but like, no. So then we started recording. Oh, hi.
Can you? I don't know. Can you?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
All right, we got to watch the language for like 2 minutes real quick.
There's nice kids around.
No, I like that. You say, we got to watch the language, and all of a sudden it goes quiet, and everybody goes, so what can we say?
All right. No,
let's get it straight. None of us got quiet. We all looked at you when we said we had to watch our language. It was just, hey, we got to watch our language, and then three pairs of eyes just locked in on you.
Bam, bam.
Wow. I'm just glad it wasn't on me this time. Let's just not get Jason to ask awkward questions.
Yeah, no, you leave your phone in your pocket. That's what we're doing in this one. You're leaving your phone in your pocket.
It is, it's in my pocket.
I think Toby's excited.
Can I help?
I'm getting
licked in the face by my dog.
Yes, which is a different change because before it was Coron.
Yeah,
it was me earlier.
So first it was Coron, and then they made the dog jealous. So here we are. That's just how it happens. So
do you have a real question?
So let's talk about some of the stuff that you got upcoming. I know I made fun of the Minnesota project, but that is awesome. It is super cool.
I despite every neuron that has common sense in my body.
Speaking of neurons,
we don't know what that is.
A lot of neurodivergent people.
What the fuck? Just let the man talk.
Take this away.
Despite how wrong it could be, I directed a film with a friend of mine, Jeremy Brown. We actually did Vengeance together.
Okay.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
And the really horrible thing about it is at the time he said, "So we want to make Vengeance 2." And I said, no, you can't be involved in Vengeance 2 because nobody with an actual penis should be doing a second fam film.
Yeah. That's true.
Say,
that's
true. There's just no reason to do it.
So are you saying you have a distaste for fan films?
Yeah. What do you hate about fan films? Tell us. Tell us.
Darling, get me started.
Do you have a distaste for fan films?
I know he was here last year, but I thought that was Al Snow.
Let me throw some logic at you. So, why would you do a fan film? You would do a fan film in order to learn your craft.
Right. Right.
Right.
Okay.
But the thing is all that isn't your money.
Right.
That
right.
isn't your. You know, your.
It's not your IP.
It's yeah. not right. your ideas. Yeah. It's
yeah. Right.
So you're not going to get anything from it.
Right.
So let's say that if you actually become a great director, you know, and
like our friend here is a great director.
Hi.
Hey, it's
hey.
Hannah again.
You really think
Hannah,
you're talking about her?
I didn't really. I was just getting
ready. Oh, ouch.
And there it is.
Ouch. Shut down by the ladies. Anyway.
That's the title of his third book.
And
I'm just surprised you wrote three books.
Two of them are picture books. Well, one of them is a pop-up book.
a real small pop-up book.
Those are really hard to do. Anyway, the reason that you don't do a fan film is obviously you do it to learn your craft, and
right.
then you and then because then if you do a bunch of other films and you become successful, then you have a back catalog.
Right.
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 Your back catalog is worthless if it's 14 versions of. Freddy's Nightmare.
So you're telling me that I did 38 Judge Dredd spinoffs for nothing?
I would pay good money to see you play Judge Dredd. Judge Dredd.
You did one of them for nothing, and the rest of them was just negative. It was even worse than that.
No, yeah. The money I would pay to see you play Judge Dredd.
38 Judge Dredd fan films that are just me playing all the different characters.
In t-shirts, they yeah. have all the muscles. So
yes, yes.
Good money.
Yes.
Good money. Hard-earned American dollars.
Dollars.
Well, I wouldn't say
hey, I generated.
Boom!
IPEX.
Yeah, no, because yeah, like a lot of people will do that to kind of like get the feel for like the process, like
and I can understand that because also you have a certain limited number of people that will want to see it.
Right,
right,
right, right.
And it is scarier to go in and actually do something new and original. So
right.
So anyway, Vengeance 2 was done by kind of a different group of people, and I grabbed Jeremy and eventually
got somewhere to be.
We got
no,
this.
I'm sorry.
Is there something you want to
No, sir.
I'm looking at the time because the booth out there that sells beer closes in like 15 minutes. So I'm going to have to go grab another one here.
Grab another one then, lightweight.
I mean, we don't need you here.
That's fucking... All right.
On that note, I am going
to... Yeah, you don't want to get another beer.
God bless it, dude.
So we got together and wrote a film that we could do for very limited money. It's like one person in an alone kind of the TV show Alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So basically we threw a monster in into that and wrote Alone with a monster.
Yeah.
And it's just really really and my job of going in it was to make it like not an amateur piece of crap.
Right.
So we went in and we actually have a really really good film.
That's awesome.
It's called Solitudes.
That's awesome. When can people see it, get it, get their hands
Harry
on it?
Harry Manfredini is doing the music right now.
Oh, that's Ooh. Awesome. That's awesome.
That's a name.
That's a good get.
That's a name.
Music right now and it will be done in probably about 4 weeks.
That is
so good. Awesome.
That's so good. Now,
so in your opinion, cuz I am a horror novice. I very little.
Novice? Novice?
Novice.
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 Novice. Novice.
With the V?
Novice?
What was the
I
other
thought
word
novice
that you're...
with a knob.
Could be that too. It's been a long day.
Yeah. You're a horror novice.
Yes. What type of horror is your favorite to work on? Like, and I'm assuming like the psychological thrillers, the... You know, you have the spiritual thrillers, the classic monster movies.
You got the slasher, all the subgenres.
I'm sorry if I'm not trying to be ignorant, but
I know totally what you're talking about.
Okay.
And the thing is me personally, I like the more complicated, mm-hmm. fantasy-related a horror.
Okay.
All right.
Because I'm a complicated freak.
Like the mythologies type stuff?
Well, like Freddy. I mean, Freddy, for instance, is a fantasy. Almost more of a fantasy than he is a horror.
Yeah.
In fact, when I designed the two main ones that I did, the third mm-hmm. and the fourth, I know this is going to sound weird, but I was kind of more relating it to a Sinbad the Sailor kind of journey piece.
Okay.
Than I was a horror film.
Oh, so, that's interesting.
So,
I like that. Yeah.
But it's more interesting to me that way.
Yeah.
Right?
You know? Okay.
I mean, it's funny because I've described this many times. Is that if the first one to me was like one of those carnivals that you see in a parking lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I wanted that journey, that sort of something wicked this way comes kind
okay.
of feel to it.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when we went on and did the second one, and I was like, well, so where can we go for number four?
Right.
And I said, well, if number four is Disneyland, then.
Right.
And yeah. that's kind of where I went with it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, the next level up of. But to me, I love more that complicated kind of just one story kind of like going after another and after another. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, not that Solitude
Did you talk?
Is that. Solitude is kind of more of a straightforward
right.
And kind of a psychological horror piece, and hopefully at the end of it, you're just going to go, what the fuck was that?
That's what we hope for when people listen to this show.
That's usually the response we get.
In our comment section,
and, what the fuck did I just listen to?
And hope for is all you're going to get.
Yeah. In a good way versus
good
when
way,
we get it, it's in a bad way.
You mean in a good way.
Yes. Right. Yeah. What the fuck was that in a good way?
In a good way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I see where you're going with that.
Yeah. So, no, so like, you know, you're at a point now where you've had a ton of great work in a lot of franchises and in a lot of, like, you know, single individual, like, which is better for you? Like, which do you enjoy more? Do you enjoy, like, going in and being a part of something that's already established and kind of, like, putting your own spin on it? Or
I think creating from scratch.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I mean, that's kind of what last year was about for me. I mean, I did Pig Hill, and then Solitude, and both of them were, like, standalones, and I had a... Yes, it's standalone. Like this is what, you know, because it's world building.
Right, 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 right.
In fact, if I have to go back and say that world building ones are that's probably my strongest point.
Okay.
Trying to get an entire look to something as opposed to, you know, and by look, and I know that this is a complicated concept, but. There are shows that are obviously have a look, and I always bring out Batman.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Batman, and mm-hmm. and because all the Batmans actually have kind of a similar look to them.
Yeah.
But it's very specific, mm-hmm. right? You know, that's kind of ultimate production design.
Right.
The thing is that people don't realize is that every film is completely its own thing.
Right.
I mean, everything is manipulated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that makes sense. And because that's kind of the thing is, like, you know, being able to start from the ground and kind of put your own stamp on it and kind of build it as you see, and then knowing that at some point someone else could come in afterwards for another one and then kind of add to it or kind of.
Well, see, it.
But they're still based on your rules,
right?
Creator,
right.
Though,
right.
Which is cool.
Yeah, I don't give a crap whether anybody follows my rules, because you know what. They're probably not going to follow their rules. I have to tell you something. When I did Nightmare on Elm Street 3, mm-hmm. I didn't much follow anybody's rules. They showed me the two films. Literally, I don't care how you saw the first two films. I literally saw them in a screening room with just me. Just watching, you know, with the actual 35mm
right.
film.
Oh, wow.
And just watching.
That's cool.
Because I hadn't seen either one.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And they showed them to me, and my comments at the time were like, they said, the first, I thought that they just didn't nearly go as far in the dream is what I thought would have been interesting. I mean, you know, the thing is you're in a fucking dream. You could do anything.
Right. Like, there's no limits.
Right.
Like, there's literally no limit.
And both of them were, to me, the most interesting part of both films was the very beginning of the second one.
Really?
Yeah. When they go with the bus stuff.
The runaway bus. Yeah.
To me, that was interesting.
Okay.
You know, and that was a dream. That was how far you should go in a dream,
yeah.
Right? You know.
Yeah.
And the thing is I try to kind of combine that element with the Aladdin's stories,
right?
Element.
Right.
And the journey element,
and
came up with the third book.
Yeah. And it worked because the third one is arguably the best one, and I'll. Yeah. I don't want to fist fight anybody that disagrees, but
you know, between the two of them, the third and the fourth, between the third and the fourth, I have to say that the third one is a much better film, but the fourth one is a lot more fun. Right? I mean, the great thing about the fourth one is there are so many bits and pieces out of the fourth one that you can just see.
Yeah.
Just that piece, you know? Just the car crashing, or just the bug thing, or just, you know, there's just so many parts, or just Alice going and falling into the theater and all the rest of that.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff is, to me, is... Wow.
That just happened. Just got flipped off by Jason.
Hey, you should be wearing Daisy Dukes.
Again, good hard-earned American dollars to see that.
If Crystal Lake moved to the Dukes of Hazzard. If Crystal Lake was in Hazzard County.
Well, I was going to say, so that'd be Crystal Lake's moves to Crystal Meth?
Yes, yeah, that would be
exactly. That's the next fan.
Like the moonshiners coming through and their car breaks down at Crystal Lake.
That's a specialty.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll serve a Mission Barbecue for
Yeah, Kittery. Because there's a special meth out now.
Oh, no.
What?
What?
I don't fucking keep up with types of meth that have been released
in the program.
I'm just going to turn this off because this is way out of my wheelhouse.
Okay, yeah, before we started, we were talking about bodily fluids and what colors they were, and now we're talking about this, and that's where you draw the line.
Hey, have you heard about the new meth? Yeah.
I've got some right here. Close your eyes. That took a weird turn. That took a weird turn.
You have to snort it with your eyes.
You can
have to snort it with your eyes.
Aroma diffuser.
Put three cones of it on your...
Yeah.
Yeah. This is only going to hurt until Thursday.
Oh, no, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, it's only Wednesday. Man, well, like, I'm super glad that you're here. Which year was more fun, last year or this year? So far, we're not done with this year yet, but...
For BetCityCon,
yeah.
Last year was... Yeah, no, this year.
This year. This year, yeah.
You know... I have to tell you, everything is spoiled for me by the death of Jeff Burr, because Jeff was somebody that I, for one thing, I've known Jeff since, you know, Leatherface, right?
Yeah.
And we've been friends forever, and his being gone is such a hole for all the conventions out here. I mean, conventions and small filmmakers and schools and stuff. That guy was the most giving and just really honestly, how many really truly nice people are there?
Right. None at this table.
Bob, I was going to say, us excluded.
Yeah, right. Us four. Yeah,
right?
Us four excluded. Yeah, but you know.
But I mean, you know, his death just really. It hit me incredibly hard. I think about it all the time.
Uh-oh.
I thought about it quite a lot.
Right now it's 4 o'clock. James is supposed to be down
doing full
costume.
There it is.
Full opportunities. Down to the
bottom. Oh my God, you own Scarefest.
You own Spooky Con.
Just got way too
branded.
Got way too quiet in here.
I think that, like, having that where, you know, you're coming back to a place that, you know, you have memories.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I think I've been here over the years three times with Jeff, right? You
know? Yeah.
And it's just such a weird. As a matter of fact, I was looking by my phone the other day, and I had a picture of a check that he wrote for Solitude.
Oh.
I just happened to see it on my phone.
Wow.
You know, because I had taken a picture of it. Saying, look,
yeah.
Look, man, Jeff Percy. You
know, and it shows that he owes me money.
And I said, oh, yeah, that's right. He actually was an executive producer on it. You know? Oh, man. Just like, anyway.
Yeah. I'm just listening, man.
So
yeah, I'm just kind of engrossed in it.
The good people die, and it leaves cockroaches like you and me around.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Just saying. Boy.
That's it. That's it.
I don't know. I got a 2.5-hour drive home after this, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how far you get. You're two beers deep now, so we'll see how that turns out. We'll see. So we'll all be here next year.
I will be, too.
You will be here, too. Yeah. Yeah. And then next year at this time, the four of us will meet again around this table. We're going to start new traditions here.
I'll have better questions next time.
Yes, please.
Yeah, you guys are... Dang.
Don't say you guys. It's him.
It was on me. I'm sorry.
It's him. We have good questions.
That was the best opening.
That was about the most pregnant pause you could have had.
To the breach.
Yeah.
I think my genre question was pretty good.
Yeah, it was not. It was a good question.
I thought that was pretty good.
Mick, thank you so much. You always are so giving with your time, and you're so, like, you're just so much fun to be around.
I know. It's in the con. Right, Chad? It's in my con. Right. I have to be entertaining or else.
Yeah. There's two provisions in the contract. Number one is he has to talk to us.
You
get a free Corvette when you leave. So make sure you square up with Chad on the way out to get your free Corvette.
It's not a Mercedes.
I don't want the fucking girl.
Throw it in the sinkhole.
I was driving my Mercedes home from set.
Put it back in the sinkhole. I don't care.
There's a sparky.
So did I ever talk about the time
throw it in there.
Minnesota.
Put some dirt on it. Thank you. You're always so awesome. I love
you.
I look forward to it every time you're here.
And I got these
thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, well, he's saying bye.